Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. Today, I'm speaking with Steve Gamlin. Steve is a motivational speaker with more than 6 years' experience who spent more than 19 years on his journey of personal development. He is the author of several books and CDs, including 20 to Life, in a good way. Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers, Steve.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
You are very welcome. Just so listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise, could you tell us a little about your journey to success in public speaking?
Sure. I've always felt that I wanted to share a message with people. And as you mentioned, I've been on a 19-year journey so far of personal development. And it really started at a very lousy time in my life. In my early 20s, I had graduated high school, graduated college, and wasn't sure what I wanted to do. Just knew that I wanted to help people and do something I was passionate about. And I had a friend, and if you've ever had a friend who believed in you kind of before you did, said, hey, you'd be great at this, and yeah. I finally listened to a friend who reminded me that I'd wanted to be in the radio industry since I'd been 9 years old and had never done anything about it. When I was nine, a TV show called WKRP in Cincinnati had come on.
Oh, I love that show.
And I did, me too. I have the box set now, the DVDs. And I finally listened to my friend, and I pursued it. Even though I wasn't sure I could do it, it was better than what I was doing, which was nothing except being depressed. And I instantly fell in love with being in radio. And 2 weeks after I got my first job, he died of cancer at age 23. And I just kind of said at that time, if somebody hadn't believed in me and I hadn't followed it, I never would have done that. And I started to really get into personal development, bettering myself, and over the course of time, telling that story over and over. And I was very shy at the time, very insecure. And as my 10-year radio career went on, I also became an MC and professional DJ. And that kind of got me more comfortable in front of crowds. I became a stand-up comedian 6.5 years ago, which made it even better. And over the last 6 years, I've kind of taken all of it with the stories and gotten in front of more and more audiences and refined my message a bit. And as soon as I started doing that, it finally struck a chord. And it took me right back to somebody believing in me before I did. And after that friend was gone, I had to be the person who believed in myself. And that's now part of my message for people. So that's the long and short version of it, and there have been ups and downs the whole way. Don't let anybody think that it's just a trajectory upward. I wrote a blog recently called When Your Phoenix Rides a Pogo Stick, which kind of chronicles my journey in and out of the fire over the last 19 years, but it bounces higher every time, and I'm scorching fewer and fewer tail feathers.
This is good. You know, I heard a story once about how a tadpole cannot become a frog unless it has to climb on something which forces it to create legs.
Wow.
And that was used as an analogy that we need the challenges in our life to become and live to our potential. So the fact that your phoenix rides a pogo stick is important and a necessary part of that journey.
Yes.
So given your circuitous, up and down, bouncy road to public speaking success, do you believe that public speaking is a learned skill or something you're born being able to do, and why?
I think you're born with a message, but actually conveying that message with confidence is something that you have to really work on. And as I mentioned, I grew up in my teenage years very shy, very insecure, very little self-esteem. I was okay in front of family and friends. But what I realized years later was, in front of family and friends, I was very self-deprecating, just to get a laugh or just to be noticed. And it was really damaging. And I think that really held me back for a long time because I was shutting down. And I was the person that would be the clown, but then at the end of the party, the clown goes home crying, and that's not a healthy way to be.
Yeah. In fact, a lot of comics are very unhappy individuals.
They are. They are, which is part of why I didn't want to pursue comedy as a full-time gig. As I got a little deeper into it and performed down around Boston and in New York City, I saw how damaging it really could be, and I said, I don't want any part of this on a full-time. And I think once I got over that need to be self-deprecating for a laugh, I realized as the radio thing started going my way that I did have a good story, and I guess I just needed to refine how I told it. I guess I had to tell it in healthier ways. So I think the story we're born with, and I think we each have a little bit of ability as far as communicating it, but I think that the communication is a learned skill, like a muscle that you just have to grow and flex. And having been in radio and been an MC and a stand-up comic, I've also been a Toastmaster for 3.5 years. And that organization was very helpful in getting me to refine my message and better present it to increase my credibility as a speaker.
Right. You know, the way you tell it, it reminds me a lot of what Joseph Campbell calls the hero's journey. It's the mythological structure of how all these legends have been told. And usually what happens is the hero is called to be the hero, and his first reaction is saying, hell no. And he resists it, and it's only later that he, through all these trials and tribulations, eventually embraces his own heroism. And I think, in a way, what you're talking about is that we're all born heroes, but we're not always born with the self-recognition of that hero within us.
Right. I usually refer to that as the who me principle.
Yeah.
When you're looking across a crowded room and somebody says, you know, hey, you're a hero, and you look over your shoulder and you point me or the guy behind me.
Oh, yeah. You know, I had that very same reaction when I took the required speech class in like the 7th grade or 8th grade, you know, somewhere in my junior high school year. And at the end of that class, the teacher was also the speech coach. And he said, I think you should join the speech team. And I look over my shoulder because I'm thinking he's got to not be talking to me. Luckily, I took him up on his offer, and I actually earned a block my senior year in high school in speech.
Excellent.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to go, okay, it is me.
Yeah.
And just leap in the faith and do it.
I've done my share of leaping, and you're right, it's just been better every time. A friend of mine always says, and I don't remember exactly who she's quoting, take the leap and grow your wings on the way down.
Yeah, I've been told that that's Ray Bradbury.
So I've seen it attributed to a couple of people, and I never want to misquote, so I just say, I can't recall exactly who.
Yeah, and I've come up with, you know, I don't even remember anyone telling me this. I just started saying, sometimes you have to leap and manifest your parachute on the way down. So, I mean,
nice.
You know, everyone has their own version, I guess.
As somebody who's jumped out of 3 perfectly good airplanes, parachutes are good things.
I'm sure they are. You know, in real life, I don't see myself ever jumping out of a plane.
It's among the greatest rushes I've ever experienced.
Well, given that I'm afraid of height, probably not the best use of my time.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Because the strangest thing is when you jump out, looking up at the bottom of a perfectly good airplane flying away.
Oh, God.
And then looking down and saying, hey, I'm 2.5 miles above that ground.
And I bet there's an analogy there to public speaking.
I think so.
Well, speaking of flying, let's imagine that you're a public speaking superhero. What do you believe would be your main superpowers?
Oh, the one I always go to, and people always say, well, what makes you different than the usual or the run-of-the-mill motivational speaker? My power would be, without a doubt, authenticity. I think it's something that's sorely lacking in this industry, just based on my personal observations.
I would have to agree that there are definitely a lot of speakers out there who may have started with some authenticity, but have gotten so used to saying the same message over and over again that they've disconnected from it.
Yeah. If I hear one more person yell out, fear is false evidence appearing real, or team, together, everyone achieves more. even if I'm having a bad day and I post it on Facebook and other social networking that something's concerning me and people spit back those acronyms,
yeah.
I finally came up with my own. Mom's a fogey. Many other motivational speakers are full of garbage, indeed. And I guarantee you nobody's using that one.
I'm sure they aren't.
I think you've got to just be yourself up there. And I refuse to be one of these graduates of the Motivational Speaker Factory. I mean, there's nothing wrong with giving people skills, but I'm just tired of hearing people saying to audiences, hey, are you aware Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team his sophomore year? Yes, I am, because I've heard 100 of you say it.
You know, that kind of sparked a question inside me, because let's say a public speaker has always been authentic, and they've become known by a certain signature style. But because they are human and they are growing, who they are has changed over time, and now, to remain authentic, they are no longer what everybody has seen them to be. I'm sure that's happened. So do you still remain authentic and say, I'm sorry, I'm no longer that person? What do you do? How do you handle that?
I've modified my messages a couple of times over the last 6 years. I think you have to remain true to who you are right now, and the people that admired and respected you for being authentic when you started, I think they'll grow with you. For example, Tony Robbins. Tony went through his divorce, about 7 or probably 8 years ago, and had to recreate himself. At the time, I was the number one poster in the world on the Anthony Robbins web community forums. Mm-hmm. My life was a total miserable pile on the rug, but I was helping other people out every day. And all of a sudden, Tony recreated himself from this person who's perfect and in a marriage, and suddenly he breaks the news that he and his first wife are getting divorced. You should have seen the people on his own board chastising him because he wasn't perfect anymore. He was growing. His journey was changed. He wasn't the same person anymore. And people hated him for it. And I ultimately just left the board for almost 5 years, because I couldn't stand the hypocrisy of people who held a speaker to a certain standard. They deified him, and when his message changed, they left him in the dust, and they just...
They were fair-weather friends.
Exactly, exactly. And I never want to be held up. You know, I feel bad for Tony. I love his stuff. I think Tony's great. He was part of what got me on this journey in the first place and still inspires me. I felt so bad that he couldn't even be himself as he was changing.
Although probably he laid the seeds for that to begin with, because he probably allowed people to see him as perfect, and that was part of his image.
It very well could have been.
That's one of the dangers of being, quote-unquote, a hero, is that people start almost molding you and trying to, like, freeze you in carbonite as you are.
Yes.
In that moment. And they don't want you to mold and change and be human.
Right. I've told audiences flat out, I can be an idiot at times. I'm just human. I tell them right up front. I said, I know you paid to be here. I really appreciate it. I hope we enjoy the next hour to 3 hour journey. But let me tell you right up front, I can't change your life. And if you're still with me, great, let's have a blast. But I can't change your life. And I say that right up front, and I have no problem saying it, which is part of, you know, my official job title is provider of motivational firewood. Well, if you want a fire, you need firewood and you need a spark. I can give you the firewood. The spark is in your heart and in your mind. Combined, we can make something great happen. But I can't do it for you. Exhibit A, I own the six-pack abs DVD.
But don't have six-pack abs.
But I guarantee you, I don't have six-pack abs. It's funny, during a recent teleseminar, I actually found the dust-covered jacket to the six-pack abs DVD on my shelf and started banging it on my desk, and the people just started laughing. I spent $49 on what is essentially a coaster.
Oh, my goodness. And I'm sure a lot of us have that, because, I mean, ultimately, only you can change your life.
Mm-hmm. But so many people look to the speakers, look to that new book, or that new recording, or that new something that's going to change their lives. And it's a very hollow feeling when you wake up the next morning and the guy was jumping up and down on stage making you yell things that rhyme, but your life's no better. I mean, I make fun of that in my presentations. And the person is yelling, you can't be in command without a plan, and then the next day you're trying to remember it, and it's like, oh, you can't be in command if you live in a van. No, I don't think that's right. Yeah, I don't think that's what he said. And you're just right back to zero because you didn't bring anything to the party.
Right. Your life is as you perceive it. And the only way other people can affect your life is if you let them affect your life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can stand up there and be the best darn motivational speaker in the world, but if the person listening isn't letting your words sink in, they're never going to benefit from that message.
Yeah, they're hearing, if you recall the old Charlie Brown and Peanuts cartoons on TV, the teacher's voice, wah, 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 wah,
yeah,
wah. And that's all they're getting, because they're not paying attention enough or listening to the message.
Now, what kind of advice would you give someone if they want to develop the power of authenticity as well?
I think that has to start from really looking in the mirror, or really taking a good, solid look into your heart and being brutally honest about yourself. I mean, I throw myself right on the hot coals in front of my audiences. Here's why I'm an idiot, and here's how I can help you to not be one. I try to be humorous. I've messed up my life in more ways than I ever thought I could. But I think that's what helps me to resonate with audiences. I never preach to people. I don't talk down to people. I don't use the overused stories. Everything I tell is from my own life, and I think that is the biggest strongest piece of advice I can give. Just be real with your audiences, because it's going to resonate with them that you're a real person too. You feel their pain. I've been speaking, doing a whole series for people who are currently unemployed throughout the state of New Hampshire, and I'm working on the state of Maine, and we're trying to make it nationwide. I feel your pain. I've been let go from jobs. I got fired twice during my 10-year radio career, and I'm brutally honest about it, how it felt. And where I found my hope, I just share the stories of what helped me, and I think that's what's missing in a lot of speakers. So that would be my number one advice. Be brutally honest about your journey and be very, very real.
Yeah. It also occurs to me that if you are going to use a story that may have been told before, choose one that resonates very powerfully for you and tell it with your own twist and personality to it.
Yeah.
So it becomes your version of that story.
Right. You got to add some flavor. Or otherwise, it's just that bland diet. People can tell. Audiences aren't stupid. People that are into self-improvement know a lot of the heavy hitters and a lot of my heroes. I would never go on stage and tell one of Jack Canfield's stories, but I've heard people do it.
I'm sure they do. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they do it in a very canned way.
Yes.
Not a Canfield way, a canned way.
I like that. Yeah, I just have fun just talking with people in general. I'm having fun doing this phone call. This is great.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing your unique perspective today on public speaking superpowers, Steve.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Karma.
Wonderful. This is the end of today's episode of Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence, signing off.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on his picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.